Let's pray. Father, we worship you. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you that your word is yes and amen. Thank you that your word does not return unto you void. And Lord, as we learn about your word, as we meditate upon your word, as you take your word and you write it upon the tablets of our hearts today, we thank you that we are renewed, that we are strengthened, and that we are built up on the inside. Thank you, Lord, as we fill ourselves with your word and we open our mouths and we speak your word out. We thank you that your word comes to pass in our lives. I thank you, Father, that you teach us the principles of your word, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that it's the washing of the word that renews our minds. It's the washing of the water of the word that purifies our spirits and makes our hearts clean before you. Thank you, Lord, it's through the word that Christ is formed in us and that he grows up on the inside of us. And this morning I pray that he will increase so that we may decrease. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you just saw, we were declaring the word of God with those declarations. From my experience in life, which is not very long, only 53 years, but especially since I came into the kingdom and started understanding the kingdom of God and the principles, and I started understanding the way that God operates and the way he has always operated, and the fact that he calls himself the word. And remember the last time that I ministered, I spoke about us being a word out of the mouth of God. But also, if we are a word out of the mouth of God, it's by default that the word is within us. So we have to understand that God uses the word to create, and that if we are his sons, if we are in his body, if we are the body of Christ, then by default, we are required to open our mouths and speak the word out. Now, in my 53 years, I've seen a lot of things. And one of the things I've definitely seen, and I'm sure you've seen it too, people speak stuff over their lives, and it comes to pass. They're utilizing principles in the Word of God, and they don't even know that. And then they complain when things go wrong in their lives. Now, because of religion, the basic truths of God's word have not really been taught. I mean, I grew up in church. My grandfather was a missionary and a preacher. He traveled the Eastern Cape and he planted churches and things like that. He was a man of love, as far as I understand. He was full of the love of God. The little bit that I can remember of him, he was a man filled with a passion for the gospel. But they went through very tough times. And I'm sure that if he understood some of the things that we understand as the body of Christ today, that things would have been a lot different. His ministry would have been different. And so, having grown up in the church and having listened to some of the stuff that they taught and are still being taught, I saw that there were things going wrong in my life, even though I was sincere. I was sincere in my love for God. I was sincere in my worship of God. But I was not applying my faith in a practical way. And as you've seen since we started our meetings, I always try, and this is how God has anointed me, I always try to bring a practical application to the Word of God. Otherwise, what's the point? There's no point. Then I might as well go into the world, go and sit and listen to Tom Hopkins or Dale Carnegie, or go to some metaphysical training school, like a lot of people are. And the reason why they are doing that is because there's no spiritual power in the church. And so I might as well go and do that and get some results, because I know people in the world that are getting results. They're using our principles. Tom Hopkins teaches him in his sales courses. He teaches the spoken word. He says, write out confession cards. He doesn't call them confessions, but he calls them affirmations, I think. And speak those things that you want. He says, speak them and you will have them. Tom Hopkins is the most successful real estate salesman in history. And he spoke it into being for himself. Now, what are these people, what do they know that we don't? You and I sit and watch TV, and guess what? The same adverts over and over and over. Guess what? Eventually, we start saying, well, you know, I need to go to Checkers, or I need to go to the Hyperama and go and check out this special on the butter that is now 25 cents cheaper and drive out 15 rands worth of petrol to get there. This is how we get conditioned. In my family, because we've renewed our minds to the Word of God to such an extent, we watch ads for the entertainment value in between the couple of shows that we watch. We watch them, and I say to them, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see how they control you there? Yeah, yeah, we see that. And so we never go to any of the stuff. We never do that. My wife is a very frugal woman. She knows what she wants. When we go shopping, I push a trolley man, and she puts in exactly what she knows to put in there. We don't worry about what they say. I know how the marketing works. At the end of those gondolas, normally in the supermarket, at the end, they have this tray full of specials. And it's those are not specials, because I used to fill up those gondolas when I used to work in the chemist industry, and we sold tablets and whatever we did. And I also know that you must not pick stuff that is at shoulder height. You always bend down and you pick the specials at the bottom. All of these things. They also taught us, for instance, that in the mornings when the housewives goes to the stores, guess what happens? They play nice and gentle, soft, soothing music, because there are not a lot of people in the store, so they want mommy to stay longer, so she loads the trolley fuller. But as it gets busier towards the afternoon, the music speed increases because a lot more people come, so they want to get them out faster. It's the same with the steakhouses. Watch. Go and eat at the steakhouse in the morning. Nice soothing music. In the evening, especially on weekends, guess what? Fast music to irritate you, to get you out. It's all a marketing thing. And we are being influenced by that. They are using these things. And yet we as the Christians can't use a simple principle in the Bible and speak the Word of God. And when we teach about this, you know, then they will call me, and they've called me that, well, you name it and claim it and frame it kind of person. Well, you know what? You can go and live in misery and not enjoy the blessings of God, and I will. I'm today a fruit of what I've spoken over the last 53 years. You are today also a fruit of what you've spoken over how many years, but also what people have spoken over you. That's why we sit with some of you after the meetings and deal with your iniquities in your heart, because people have spoken words. Those words contain power, and they've injured your spirit, and so your spirit does not function the way that it's supposed to function. How do I know there's power in your words? Very easy. How many times have somebody said something to you and say, Bonnie, you're a so-and-so and so? Where does it hurt you? Does it hurt you in your head? No, it hurts you right here, just under your rib cage, right there, by the solar plexus. What is it that hurts you? What is it? There's got to be substance somewhere, because the same person can come to you afterwards and say, Bonnie, I am really sorry that I said that. And when they mean it, and when there's true repentance, guess what? Mm-hmm. There's the pain goes, and there's this warm, nice feeling that comes on the inside. Why? Because it's genuine. What's in those words? What's in the Word of God? His anointing. God's faith is in there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more you hear, the more those word containers come, and they're like cocoa pants. Some of us still remember what those are. The cocoa pants used to fascinate me, especially the Eastern Transvaal. They used to come over the road like that, and etc. And you still see some of them parked. You know, we were past Petersburg into the mountains there. You still see some of them. You still see some of them there. Anyway, this cocoa pan comes, and then it pours out its ore and its contents, and they melt it down and they get the gold out of it. Your words are the same as a cocoa pan, as a container. And it comes through your ear gate, and it lets go of its contents into your heart. And so you either feel pain, or you feel soothing, healing, anointing, whatever it is. And so the Word of God is filled with anointing. It's filled with faith. So the Word says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, and the more you hear yourself speak the word of God, the more it will start happening in your life. But it's a simple principle. People just don't do it. People don't do it. No, you know what? My father died when he was 40. And you know what? My grandfather also died from cancer when he was 40. Guess what's going to happen when I'm 40? And I've seen it time and time again. They die. They speak it into existence. How do you get saved? How do you and I get saved? Somebody gives an altar call and we go forward. And what do? We open our mouths. We speak it out. That's the beginning of the great confession. And the rest of your life is this confession. But then we just stop doing this and we get into all sorts of stuff. And who knows? I mean, I see some people that have been on the road longer than I, and their lives are a mess. Some people that are in the ministry, their lives are a mess. I'm not trying to say how fantastic I am, but I listen to what comes out of their mouths. Jesus said, you will know a tree by its fruit. Trees in the Bible are usually types of people. And Jesus would listen to what people would say. I sit in a conversation and I hear what people say. The moment I hear what they say, I know what's in their heart. I just listen to what people say and they will tell you what is in their heart. Especially if you want to minister to somebody. I've been in many prayer lines and they start yabba 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 and all I hear is unbelief. Then I've got to say to them, okay, but what do you believe? No, I believe this and it's all negative. How can you pray for someone like that? Unless it's a sovereign move of God. But Christians are plain lazy. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says that we must renew our minds with the word of God. Do you think you can get Christians to do that? I remember Ron Kusmal said a couple of years ago, he said, out of every 100 people that he ministers to, he says less than 10 actually go and do what he says. And I'm sure if you know, you've spoke to Ray or anybody like that. And what I've seen over the years, the moment that it takes a little bit of discipline, because that's where the word disciple comes from. If we're his disciples, and we're more than his disciples, we're his sons. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. But if you're a disciple, the word discipline and disciple are related. It means you got to discipline something. What? Your flesh. Where? Between your ears. Your body, your physical body will do whatever the spirit dictates to the soul, which is between your ears, and then the flesh will follow. We try and do it the other way. Try and discipline the flesh, but the mind is not renewed, and the spirit is not full of the word. So, what I want to discuss with you today is the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3 says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. He spoke. God speaks. People say to me, I can't hear God. Well, it's not because God's not speaking. God is the Word, so he's speaking forever. There's got to be something wrong with us if we're not hearing. Hebrews 1 verse 2. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son. How does he speak to us? Through the living word, his son. So in two verses already, twice, it says that God speaks. He's spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. How? Through the word. Where's the word today? He's in you and he's in me. Verse 3. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying and radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. The King James says, the word of his power. It's not the power of his word. It sounds different. There's a big difference. It's not the power of his word. It's the word of his power. See, there can be power in somebody's words. There can be power in somebody's words. A man or a woman can speak, and through eloquence, they can influence people and get them to do things. Power in their words. But God says that he holds it all together. The whole universe gets the whole thing going. The sun and the moon and the earth spinning at 1,000 nautical miles an hour at the equator. And we don't fall off. We don't get flung off into space. He keeps that whole thing together by the word of his power. What is his power? The Spirit of God represents his power. So the word comes forth unctioned by the power. It's full of the anointing. How did he create everything? He says, through Christ, the Word. Who was the agency that created the universe? So it was God speaking, the Word, his Son. And then it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. And the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding, incubating. If you go and study that word out, it means to incubate. It means to be like a pregnant woman over the face of the waters. So where was the Spirit of God? Where was the power of God? It was hovering on the face of the earth, right? So there was God. At the right time, he spoke the word. But he and his Son and the Spirit, they are one. So when he spoke on the earth, the Spirit of God reacted in resonance. We've all driven a motor car, and then at a certain speed, guess what happens? You hear this zub, 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 zub. Something starts vibrating in the dashboard or somewhere on the bodywork. And you go slightly over the speed, and it's gone. And you come back to that speed, and it's vibrating again. You go slightly under the speed, and it's gone. It resonates. It vibrates in sympathy to another frequency. Two frequencies get together. It's the same. God's frequency, if I can put it this way. What was in God's heart was also in the Son's heart, was also in the heart of the Holy Spirit. And at a certain point, the three resonated together. So God spoke the word and the Holy Spirit resonated together. He was already hovering, brooding. He was getting everything ready. And so when the word was spoken, the creation happened. Amen? So, it's not just the power of his word, but the word of his power. Now that same power, that same Holy Spirit lives within us. But what do? We complain, well, you know, things are not going right. This is happening. That's happening. So and so is happening. I was sharing yesterday with the man that comes and he does our garden. And I don't know how it got to it, but he was saying that he was driving his little truck with a trailer. And somebody just cut him off. And he was obeying the road rules. And he was doing what he was supposed to do. And he said then he just wanted to, you know, get stuck in and, you know, almost not stick to the road rules. And I said, but haven't you noticed? The more the people disobey the road rules, the more it seems to happen. So I see somebody... I see Julia skip the stop street, which she never does. But so then what I do and say, ach, you know what? Forget this. Why should I stick to the stop street? And remember what Alan Burrell was talking about? He said, there's no respect. But there's no respect for God. It goes right back to the word. Because I go and exercise every afternoon, so I'm all over the place, all over the area there in our suburb. and people just do not stop. I watch mothers with little babies on the side, on sitting in the front, not even strapped in. They just go through the stop streets. It's like it doesn't even exist. If I had to cross that street, I would be wiped out. And they just do it. And the more people are doing it, the more it's happening. And they're yielding to a spirit of lawlessness. And everybody's complaining. Well, you know, the crime and everything's increasing, but nobody's seeing that they are culprit to this. But to get back to it, Romans 13 tells us that the laws of the land are put in place by God through the agency of the government, isn't it? And he says the government, the officer of the law is there to enforce it. And he says, if you abide by the law, you have nothing to fear. The law is there for him who wants to transgress the law. So, God puts the government, whether we like the government of the day or not, that's not the point. He says that he establishes the government. So the government puts road rules in there. And the road rules are written. We go and write our K53 exam or whatever, but it's words, which actually comes from God via the government for our own good. Words, which we then disobey. And so there we just drive like lunatics and don't stick to the speed limit and wonder why things are like they are. Because last couple of weeks I've been driving around with some Christians in their cars, and I couldn't believe how these people just go through the red lights. I said, listen, I'm in the car. I expect you to stop. Otherwise, I'm getting out now. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that maybe they can hijack me at the... I said, where's your faith, brother? God will never leave you or forsake you. The angels are encamped around about you. I mean, surely, if you're in the will of God, then nothing can touch you. I mean, you know, you throw out the one and then you throw the rest out as well. But it all comes back to the word. And so we start speaking it out. The question I'm asking, there's his mother and the particular street that I walk and exercise in, there's this creche. And I watch these mothers, they fetch their little 3-year, 4-year, 5-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old children. They fetch them. They put them on the side there. And guess what? They drive through the robot. What are they teaching these little children? To be rebellious. So when those children are 14, 15 years old, you come to them and say, listen, let me tell you about Jesus. Okay. We're talking about the word of his power. You see, the word of God is supposed to infiltrate and have an effect on our everyday lives. When I spoke to my garden guy yesterday, he said to me, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I don't stick to it, but I know I should, because he's a Christian. But because of his the work he does, I mean, he's driving around in his truck the whole day long and, you know, stopping at every stop street. And I know he's a very careful man. He's not a guy that's just going to run lights and so forth, you know. But I'm talking about the people that we at 10 o'clock at night that drive down the street at 150. Where does it come from? The word of his power. They don't believe in the word of his power. So the word of his power has no effect in their lives in the first place. It says here that he maintains and guides and propels the universe by his mighty word of power. But where is his mighty word of power? It's right within us. Think about it this way. Science tells us that it's gravity that holds me on my 2 feet on the ground. But you know what? It's a manifestation of the word of his power that's holding me here. Because at the equator, and this is what I learned in aviation when I had to study navigation, at the equator, the earth spins at something like 1,000 nautical miles per hour. You know how fast that is? And we are not flying off. It takes 24 hours to go around, but we're still not flying off. The people in Australia are not falling off. Well, they think we're upside down, so we're not falling off. Yeah, you take a piece of rope or with a little weight on it, and you start swinging, and you let go, and there it goes. But it's the word of his power that is keeping us here. It's that close to us. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. There again, do you see that? In verse 3 of Hebrews 1, he talks about everything being created. And in verse 2, verse 2 and 3 talks about everything being created by the Word. So in John chapter 1, verse 3 says the same thing. All things were made and came into existence through him. Him being the Word. Where's the Word? The Word lives in you. So you're the container of the Word. But just being a container of the Word has no effect in your life until you open your mouth and speak it. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. And one of the things he made was your tongue. And we'll read it just now, but in James, it tells us that nothing can bridle the tongue. Nothing in the natural, yes. But I believe the Spirit of God can bridle our tongue. Verse 4 of John 1, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness. The light shines on in the darkness. Now let's just go back to verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay. He's talking about the Word. So the Word is the life. The Word is the light. What would happen if I started speaking the Word of God? What would I release? And life. In fact, I would release Christ. That's what happens when we sit down, we worship the Lord, we sing some songs, or we just start talking about the Lord. What do we sense? We sense this presence of the Lord. We sense this anointing that comes. How does it come? Because we release it out of our mouths. Amen? That's how simple it is. People say, well, you know, I never experienced the presence of God. Open your mouth and just start worshiping him. Just take a scripture and start worshiping him with the scripture. It's very simple, because the Word of God is a container for his presence, for his anointing. And if you're speaking it out, guess what will happen? The presence of God will start filling the atmosphere. If we believe it. The light shines on in the darkness. Why does the light shine in the darkness? Because we speak it. Why is there the dark? Why does the darkness continue? Because we don't speak the Word. We don't switch the light on. Amen? How do you switch the light on? You open your mouth and you speak it. The mess that people experience in their lives is because of what they speak. Think about yourself. Think about the people you know. When my flu comes every winter, they own it already. It's flu time. I'm going to get my flu, and I know that I will be down for at least 2 weeks. It's not my flu. They look forward to it. They're already giving an invitation. They claim it. They claim it as their own. My flu, my disease, my headache, my whatever it is. They do that. But we need to look at ourselves. Do we do that? What do we claim for ourselves? The power of death and life is where? But do we believe it? The way I hear some Christians speak, you would think that that scripture is not even in the Bible. They'll come out of a meeting like this, and we'll go somewhere, have coffee somewhere, and guess what? Well, you know, it's this bad and this bad, and the state president so-and-so, and he's this bad, and that one so-and-so, and that, and we will never go anywhere in this country. Blah, 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 blah. Verse 5, John 1, And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. What we've got to do is to speak it. Speak it and speak it and speak it. This is why we have these little cards with scripture declarations on them. So that when you battle in an area, where there's an area of darkness within your own soul, where you're battling, if you battle with wisdom, then you take this one where it takes scriptures about wisdom and you speak it out over your own life and it'll start happening for you. You want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Then take the one that talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and you will see the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. I can guarantee you that. I've seen it with myself. You take the word and you declare it into the area of darkness in your own life until that anointing, until that light comes and drives it out and breaks and destroys that yoke. That's why we require discipline. And that seems to be a commodity amongst Christians that is seriously lacking. God has got to do everything for them. Christians are need-oriented. Lord, I need this, I need that. And I know that the Lord has compassion on us. That's why He came in the flesh. But there's got to be a time when we start standing up for ourselves. Standing up in Christ. We start doing the word. We start saying and doing what we believe. We start walking the talk instead of just talking the walk. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Now, that can also represent an area of your life or someone's life or a situation or a business where it seems that everything is in turmoil and the Spirit of God is already there. I mean, how many of you believe that the Spirit of God is everywhere on earth? Of course. His manifested presence isn't necessarily, but His presence is there. What we have when we get together and we start worshiping God and we sense that presence, that's the manifested presence of God. But His presence is everywhere because it's through the word of His power that He holds the whole thing together. So even at the bottom of the depths of the ice in the South Pole, the Spirit of God is there. He's on the moon. But it's not His manifested, tangible presence. It's the Spirit of God that's there. He's in the core of the earth where it's all molten lava and stuff. The Spirit of God is there, but it's not the manifested presence of God. Not what you and I experience. When we start worshiping God and I pray for Bonnie and she gets healed from something or her leg grows out or whatever it is. That's the manifested presence of God. But people are sick out there and everywhere. Christians are sick and the Spirit of God is there, but it's not the manifested presence of God. And so we need to understand that. Your life could be in great turmoil. An aspect of your life, a person, a situation, a business. But the Spirit of God is there. He's waiting for the word from the throne, which is within you. The Godhead bodily dwells within you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What we've got to do is hear what He's saying. That's one of the reasons why we pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in tongues. Because it says in Jude verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost, rising higher and higher and higher, like an edifice. But it says, building yourself up. Building yourself up where? To rise higher and higher and higher. Where? In the spiritual realm. Until you can hear. Praying in tongues prepares your spirit to hear from God. What we tend to do many times, I pray for Pastor Simon. So now, there I go off, I start praying in tongues for Pastor Simon. What I should do is I should pray in tongues and say, Lord, I have Pastor Simon on my heart. So I pray. And then I pray in the Spirit until I get to the point where I hear the voice of the Lord. He gives me a verse, a scripture, a word. I've risen to that place in intercession, that place of authority. I'm hearing from the throne. And guess what? I speak that word out. And I sense a release in my spirit, and that's it. He gets me to that place where I can hear His voice. And it's the word, it's the anointing on the word that will break and destroy that yoke that's in Pastor Simon's life, whatever it might be. So for instance, if he's trusting God for finances, so then that's what we do. Then we speak that out. But it might be specific. I could quote a whole lot of scripture about finances, but maybe there's something that God wants to show me. There's a specific thing that He wants to do with Pastor Simon. And so I pray until He gives me that word. And so then I speak it out. So there's power in that word. And it's the word of His power that comes forth then. And then that situation where the Spirit of God has been brooding, then that will change when we get to that place. Verse 3 of Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. Verse 5. And God called the light day. Verse 6, and God said. And verse 8, and God called. And verse 9, and God said. And verse 11, and God said. And verse 14, and God said. And verse 20, and God said. And verse 24, and God said. Verse 26, God said. Verse 29, and God said. Couldn't God just have said, or could that scripture, the writer of the scriptures, could he not just have said, Bonnie, I mean, sure. I mean, if you would write a book, would you repeat yourself over and over like that? I don't know if you write. Okay. But generally speaking, if you write a book and you write a paragraph, you would say, and Mr. Van der Merwe, who is the owner of the dog on the corner, he said, I will take my dog to the vet, and he said, once I am at the vet, and he said, I'm going to Mr. Van Tonner, who is the vet, and he said that once he's at the vet, he will give him an injection, and he said that he will get better when he has the injection, and he said that Mr. Van Tonner will keep him overnight for observation, and he, we wouldn't write that way. We'd say, Mr. Van der Merwe said, he was going to take his dog to the vet for his injection, and Mr. Van Tonder said he would keep the dog overnight for observation. That's how we would do it, isn't it? So if God is allowing the writer of Genesis to repeat it like that, surely then there must be a hidden message here. Right. I'm sure we get that one. It's an affirmation. God is saying that He spoke everything into existence. It came because He spoke, because He's the Word. But we are now in the dispensation where the Word lives within us. That's what it was all about. The whole story of redemption was to get the presence of God back within us, the way it was with Adam. And for us to be clothed with His glory, right? So it's important for us that we watch what we say. Proverbs 18 verse 20 says this. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. What do we think of morality in our country at the moment? Is it good? No, it's not. Anything goes, man. Anything goes. You know, if it feels good, do it. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. We become what we believe we are in our own hearts. Proverbs 23 verse 7. As a man thinks in his own heart, so is he. How do you think in your own heart? You think in words. It's your self-talk. You speak words on the inside, and you start thinking that, and you start meditating, and you start brooding on this inside of yours. You start, like the Holy Spirit was hovering and brooding over the face of the deep, you brood over this, and you start hatching something. And before you know it, you start speaking it. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. 18 verse 20. Proverbs 18:20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. I don't think we can get that clearer. With the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. I could say a man's heart could be filled with the fruit of his mouth. The heart and the mouth, we'll see shortly, they are tied together. And with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, there he's saying it. If we complain about the stuff that's happening in our lives, we need to look and see, what have we been saying? Or have we failed to say anything? Because the media are talking on our behalf. The government is talking on our behalf. ESCOM is talking on our behalf. Etc., etc. And what do we do? Do we listen to that and then start repeating it? Yeah, well, this country's coming to nothing. Well, you know, ESCOM's never going to come right. Blah, 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 blah. There we go. Or are we going to listen to what God says? In fact, when you do what I'm saying right now, you're swimming upstream, man. You're even swimming upstream in the church. Yeah, but brother, you've got to face reality. Where's my reality? My reality is in the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? I'm supposed to manifest the kingdom of God here. Righteousness, joy, peace. I've got to hear from God. And then I've got to start speaking contrary or sometimes against what's being said, what the status quo is saying. And then I look like what? An idiot. Well, I'll be an idiot for Christ then. And that's the thing. We're too embarrassed to do that. You can ask Sasha. We sit in a conversation and somebody comes and visits and then they start mouthing stuff off. And guess what? To the embarrassment of everyone. And I get kicked under the table sometimes. And I know I shouldn't have said it. And I'll say that. My wife has just kicked me under the table because she doesn't want me to say that. So I am saying it for all to hear. I do not agree with what you're saying and please desist from saying that in my house. That's what I do. Guess what? Some of them never come and visit again. No, she repents afterwards. She says, no, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Because she knows. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it, shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Verse 1 says, whether good or evil. So, are we going to believe the bad report? Or are we going to believe the good report? Right. How do you believe the good report? How do you release your faith? You speak it out. Most people, they don't understand when I say, okay, I'm bringing my faith into agreement with yours. I'm releasing my faith on behalf of yours. How do I do it? I make sure that I have the will of God in my heart and my spirit, that my mind is completely convinced and renewed to that. And then I say, okay, Bonnie, you said this is what you're trusting God for. I come into agreement with that. I believe that this and this and this will take place. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now we're in agreement. Yeah, I'm saying the same as what she's saying. So two or three shall agree. So I'm reading it again. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. I'm repeating it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. That word indulge, it reminds me of myself when there's a big tub of rum and raisin ice cream. I indulge. Oh, malfakekjes. Oh, Dutch butter pudding. Whatever you want. I can see myself indulging and eating too much of it. So this is what it's saying. I'm indulging in the words of my mouth. In other words, I'm not thinking carefully about what I say. Many times I sit in a conversation and people say, Jan, don't you ever say anything? And I'm just quiet because I don't have anything to say. And people think, you know, is he asocial? What is wrong with him? And other times I have a lot to say. It just depends what's on the inside of my heart. I've learned to, to some extent at least, to not indulge just what's in my, what comes out of my mouth, and to use it, because there was a time in my life where I could use what comes out of my mouth to destroy people. And I don't want to do that anymore. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Okay. How would you do that? You would have to listen with your ears. Okay. 21. Let them not depart from your sight. So what do we have now? We have ears and we have eyes. Okay. What does the Bible say about the agreement of two or three? Excuse me. Where any two or three shall agree about anything, it shall be done of my Father in heaven. If you go and study the original language there, it says, where any two or three shall agree as touching anything on earth, if it doesn't exist, your Father in heaven will create it for you. Look in line of with what I've been saying about the word. The word is creative. God used the word to create. Now, he says, listen to his sayings and keep your eyes on them. So read them and listen to them. So what do we have? We have agreement between the eyes and the ears. If we have agreement between the eyes and the ears, what will start happening? The things that I say, the things that come out of my mouth, will what? Will start happening. My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. That involves the ears. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. That has to do with the eyes of the heart. For they are life to those who find them. See? Get the eyes and the ears in agreement, and then those words are life to those who find them. Which means you've got to go and find them. Do we discipline ourselves to go and find them? They are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Get agreement between what you hear and what you see on the inside, and you will have life and health and healing for your flesh. Then he says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. What flows out of your heart? Springs of life, the issues of life, the King James says, the issues of life, the springs of life. From where? From your heart. How do you release them? With your words. Verse 24, put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far from you. Why? That's straight after the fact that out of your heart comes the springs of life. Don't speak rubbish, because then life is not going to come out of your heart. That creative power is going to wreak havoc in your life. It's going to cause destruction. You're going to create your own future. We deceive our own hearts through the things that we say. We've got to get our hearts and our minds in agreement. We've got to change what we say. Otherwise, nothing is really going to happen. You know, some people, you listen to them and nothing comes out of their mouth. They say a lot, but they don't really say anything. And there's no real depth to their lives. There's also, you know, it's sort of middle of the road kind of thing. Nothing really happens. Nothing comes out of their mouth that's constructive. You know what the word says to us? That we are responsible for the things we say. We will give account of every idle word. What is an idle word? An idle word, if I sit around idle, what does that mean? I'm not productive at all. He says that you will give account for every idle word. In other words, non-productive word. Does that now mean we can't sit together as a family over dinner and crack a few jokes and stuff? It doesn't mean that. There's a time and a place. But even in our cracking of jokes and having fun, there can be negative and breaking down in our lives, or it can be uplifting and positive and bringing joy. I mean, we sit and we tell one another stuff, and, you know, your hair looks funny today, you know, and then we just crack up laughing and say, what's so funny? No, you said my hair looks funny today, you know, and there we are, and it's a ridiculous thing, but then the joy of the Lord comes. And so we need to be careful what we say, how we say it, when we say it. We really have to think about the things we say. There's got to be purpose in what we say. I try to be purposeful with what I say. My family knows that already. I don't just say something just because I lack anything to say. It's purposeful. My family has learned to listen when I speak because I speak with purpose. I don't just say, well, you know, this, that, and the other. Okay, we're so-and-so, well, that's, you know. I mean, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. I try to speak with purpose. Proverbs 16, verse 23 and 24. The mind of the wise instructs his mouth. You see, the mind comes into it. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we need to renew our minds with the word of God, so that, I mean, this is my paraphrase, so that we can discern the will of God. A renewed mind is key in discerning the will of God for our lives. Let me just read that to you. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal, therefore, to you, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. See, you want to know the will of God? Get your mind renewed. That is key in hearing the voice of God. It's key. So now Proverbs 16:23 says this, the mind of the wise instructs his mouth. So let's put it in there. The renewed mind of the wise instructs his mouth. The renewed mind according to the will and purposes of God instructs his mouth. So what's he going to speak? He's going to speak the word of God. He's going to speak the will of God. You want to prophesy to somebody? You want to speak the will of God to somebody? Get your mind renewed. All of the major prophets and apostles and people that I have met that have spoken with impact in my life and my wife's life, they had a fantastic knowledge of the word of God, but their minds were totally renewed. It's not just a knowledge, they were actually living it, because that's what they think. The whole attitude of their mind is the word of God. And so when they come and they bring a word, it's got unction, it's got punch, it's got power. It's got power to create, it's got power to carry forth. I remember my spiritual father gave me a word in 1995. And it said that there were still some tests and trials that were coming. I can tell you now, that word carried me for 5 years, 1995 to 2000, when I got the next word. And the next word confirmed that one in 1995. If I didn't have that one in 1995, I don't know what I would have done. There was enough unction and function and anointing in that word to carry me through 5 years. And so the renewal of the mind is important in the way that we speak. The mind of the wise instructs his mouth and adds learning and persuasiveness to his lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. See, there the healing comes in again. Doctors have proven that most sickness and disease is psychosomatic. What is psychosomatic? Psycho has to do with the mind. Somatic is soma, the body. The mind influencing the body. What happens? We work hard. We start getting concerned. We start stressing out. What happens to the body? It starts getting run down. The immune system starts getting run down. We start getting colds and flu and those kind of things. Just because of stress. But we don't have to walk in stress. We can walk in the peace of God. Even in the midst of great turmoil. Even in the midst of the most responsible job or function we have in our company or ministry or whatever it is. We can walk in peace. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2 and 3 says this: be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. What am I saying with that? God has put a dream on the inside of each one of us. You release that dream through your mouth. You find the word of God and you start releasing that dream with your word. Like Kenneth Copeland took a scripture about flying on the high places of the earth, something like that. I can't remember where that verse is. As he was trusting God for an aeroplane. And so eventually the aeroplane came, but he spoke it into existence. That was part of the dream that God had given him. Now it says here in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3, for a dream comes with much business and painful effort. So here we are, we're trusting God. So we start speaking, we start releasing our faith, and we start trusting God, and we start trusting God. And so then, and another person comes and joins the team. And guess what? This person is not in agreement, and they just start speaking a whole lot of stuff. And a fool's voice with many words. So here we are. We've trusted God. We've dreamt about this thing. We've released it with our faith. And somebody comes and just speaks death into the thing. Foolishly. Because it's not easy to walk by faith. Because most of the time when you walk by faith, you're walking upstream or you're swimming upstream. So be not rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. Luke chapter 6, from verse 43. There is no good healthy tree that bears decayed or worthless stale fruit. Nor, on the other hand, does a decayed, worthless, sickly tree bear good fruit. Okay, that stands to reason. But trees in the Bible are always types of people. Most of the time. Verse 44. For each tree is known and identified by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor is a cluster of grapes picked from a bramble bush. Verse 45. The upright, honorable, an intrinsically good man out of the good treasure. You see straight away he comes into the upright man out of the good treasure stored in his heart. Produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We've got to have a renewed mind. We've got to have a heart that is filled with the Word of God. Remember that scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:20. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. Fill your heart by meditating on the Word of God. That's why we have these declarations. Speak them. So that your head can hear, your mind can be renewed, and your heart can hear until the Word sinks in, until the ears and the eyes and the heart and the mind are in agreement. Then that which is in the heart will start overflowing. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. James chapter 3 verse 2. We all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. Did you hear that? If you can get your mouth right, you can control your entire being. You're a perfect man. If we set bits in the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. That's a line again there with that verse in Ecclesiastes 5:3. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. It can just destroy a vision like that. One of the biggest secrets that we can, all of us can learn. God gives you a dream. Don't start sharing with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Don't do it. Share it with the people that are in agreement with what you do in life, that stand with you, the ones that will be there for you when times are tough. You can share it with them. But don't share with people you don't know. Don't stand up on a pulpit and, well, this is what God's given us. Unless you now know that there is a base of agreement that it doesn't matter anymore what anybody else says. Because you will get to that place where the vision is starting to grow. And now it has to become public. But once it's got its own momentum and its own life, they can't stop it anymore. But when it's an embryo, when the Holy Spirit is hovering over that place of the deep in your spirit, and it's not yet come into fruition, it's not yet been created, you don't speak about it. You speak about it to your Father in heaven. And you speak it to those that can come into agreement with you. You see, a lot of these things die prematurely because we speak them out prematurely. And they have not yet got a life of their own. Look at the ships. Though they are so great and driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. So the word should be our helmsman. Even so, the tongue is a little member and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, being itself ignited by hell. But if it can be ignited by hell, surely it can be ignited with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Of course. That's why. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Then, when you open your mouth will run over with the abundance of the heart. If it's the Word of God, if your heart is full of the Word of God, your tongue will be oiled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, the water of the Spirit. It will be life. It will be light. For every kind of beast can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius, but the human tongue cannot be tamed by man. So who can tame it? God can. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. But if it's tamed, then it's full of blessing. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. So out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing, because he's placed before us death and life. The power of death and life is in the tongue. What are we going to choose? These things, my brethren, ought not be so. Does a fountain send forth simultaneously from the same opening fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. The reason why our words are so powerless is because both kinds of water come out of our wellspring. The issues of life. It's just one issue and then another issue. Negative, positive. I mean, the one cancels out the other one. We should get to a place where it's just the Spirit of God flowing from us, from our hearts. And then you will start seeing the power. Then you will start seeing, when you speak a word, it'll start happening for you. Then you will see your future change.